is.
What are you doing that stupid trickery crap for?
Is Felger and Nass.
The continued ish.
On 98.5.
Unbelievable.
The Sports Hub.
I have my moments. But I think everybody at this point is tired. Or, you know, worn down or whatever the case may be. But you know, still trying to make plays to help our team win, put us in position to win. And we had moments. We had an opportunity, but we didn't make enough plays.
Were you under the weather at all in this game?
No. I'm fine. And I didn't mention the fatigue either. Well, one of you guys did. I'm fine.
Okay, James, on the fatigue factor, I smell a rat. I feel a setup. I feel fake NBA drama coming. His fatigue was a little too obvious, don't you think?
For sure.
A little too obvious. It's all ESPN could do to keep mentioning it. It's all anyone could do. It was the talk of the postgame. The fatigue. Are the minutes catching up? The age? Is he getting worn down? Worn down by his teammates? Worn down by the workload? Worn down by having to carry the team every night? And it was so obvious, and his body language spoke to it so strongly, so soon, I am left with no other recourse than to believe he's setting us up, as usual, fake NBA drama. Oh, I'm hurt! Actually, no, I'm not. I'm going to drop 30 on you. You know, Marcus Smart, my favorite NBA moment, even better than the Paul Pierce wheelchair. Marcus Smart, with a mildly strained ankle, mild ankle sprain, gets taken off on the backboard and gives the crowd the two thumbs up on the way out of the arena with a sprained ankle. I can move. I still have feeling in my hands, everybody. I'm okay. The fake NBA drama setting up their moment where they come back onto the floor and save the day. See it all the time, every day, usually with injuries. LeBron, don't you get the feeling, is doing it with this fatigue nonsense.
Oh, I think the LeBron thing is completely choreographed. And I think it has been really all year long, but especially now. So let me just rewind for a second. 2 years ago, they won the finals in 7 games. Durant goes to Golden State. They lose in 5. And then Kyrie leaves. LeBron has at no point this season thought they were going to win the championship. He has never once sat there and said, we're going to win. Then they completely overhauled the team in the middle of the season, and they brought in these guys, and LeBron still looks at him and says, yeah, it's fun, it's different, but we're not good enough. We're nowhere near good enough. So his objective is to not win a championship this year. He hasn't been planning to win a championship all year long. It's never crossed his mind. His objective is to make sure his departure from Cleveland doesn't go as badly as it did the first time. That's where he's putting his energy. Because that is an attainable goal. The title, he's got no control over that, and he knows it. Zero chance. So now they're in the series against the Celtics, and he's setting it up so that he gets his moment in Game 6 in front of the home crowd so he can give them a going-away kiss on the cheek. Okay? It's not going to be like it was last time, Cleveland. I'm going to leave you with an honest effort. I'm going to win Game 6 for you at home, and then he's going to check out in Game 7 in Boston, and that's going to be the end of it.
Whatever this narrative is that he's constructing started actually before the game. Did you see this where he's reading the book, this self-help book,
yeah,
before the game?
And yeah, The Alchemist.
The Alchemist. And so, you know, he goes out, he's tired, and he's, you know, he has the Sisyphean task of trying to get through this playoff run here. It's been so difficult.
Sisyphus is the individual who keeps trying to push the boulder up the hill only to be pushed back down.
Correct.
Might have actually been a little too highbrow. Sorry, Gasper. That was Gasper rubbing off. I'm sorry. I like the guy for the most part. I think he takes too much flack, but he makes it so difficult when he does stuff like this because it's so fraudulent.
But you're so right.
It's an act.
He's constructing a narrative.
He is. He's totally. He's writing the book.
And boy, ESPN is sure happy to go along, right? Like it was just on and on about the fatigue. Doris Burke. Doris
breathlessly.
Burke breathlessly announcing or reporting on his fatigue.
Let's send it over to Doris.
Well, Mike, as you know, the broadcasters that are around the local teams are very familiar with habits of players. And I asked Allie Clifton, who happens to be the sideline reporter for the Cleveland Cavaliers, did she think, like Mark and Jeff, that LeBron looks tired? She said, it's a point of pride for LeBron James not to show any kind of fatigue, hands on his waist, bending over, all of which we have seen to the point, Mike, that she believes he's tired as well. So the guys are on point.
Okay, so we can confirm he is tired. But the way the way
it's true, LeBron is tired.
This just said, no, we can confirm he is tired. Back to you. But the just the sideline reporter there in Cleveland, and don't tell me you're Googling her, are you?
I did, Allie Clifton. Yeah, she's a looker.
I can tell when Maz is photo imaging something, like Google imaging. Like,
the pupils get bigger.
Yeah, there's no question.
I can do two things at once.
So
I'd rather look at her than look at you.
But anyway, she says that LeBron typically doesn't let you in on when he's fatigued, that he won't grab his shorts, you know, bend over, won't put his hand on his hips, won't let you know. Yet in this game, it's like a montage. It's like a fest. It's like a tired fest. It's like a cornucopia of all these little mannerisms that let you know that he's fatigued. Like Tim Legler on ESPN picked up on it.
I made a note 5 minutes into the game. It's one of the first notes I wrote down tonight was, why is LeBron grabbing his shorts and bending over on a free throw attempt
Because he's setting you up, Tim. Why is LeBron, I'm sorry, why is he grabbing his shorts and acting tired 5 minutes into the game when he's clearly not tired? Because he's play-acting, Tim. I'm sorry. Your life is the NBA, to analyze the NBA, and you've made it your life, so it's hard for you to hear this. But a lot of the stuff you see is kind of make-believe. It's this fake NBA drama crap. He's setting you up.
It's pro wrestling.
He's setting you up. I'm sorry. Tim Legler again noticed it.
Grabbing his shorts and bending over on a free throw attempt 5-6 minutes into the game. It just didn't look right. They're going to feed off of this guy's energy level. Sure. He's been sensational, obviously. What he has done in the postseason is almost superhuman. But tonight, for whatever reason, he just didn't have it. His biorhythms were not working for him tonight.
Biorhythms. I love that, too. And Tim Legler's outstanding.
Right.
I'm not ragging on Tim Legler. Tim Legler, I will stop and watch his segments on ESPN with the film breakdown. He's outstanding. But it doesn't occur to him that he's being played because he's such an NBA guy. But it's like, why would LeBron, when he doesn't ever do it, according to the fine sideline reporter there in Cleveland.
Allie Clifton.
She blonde?
She, of course.
Oh, I was on the floor last night. This gal is, she's nice.
Oh, see, so again,
she's special.
And I'm the one that's Googling.
Special.
I'm Googling your ogling.
But Allie Clifton reports that he doesn't do that, yet 5 minutes into the game, he's doing it? Why?
Yeah, here's more accurate analysis. 5 minutes in, LeBron realizes Kevin Love is the only other person that showed up on his team tonight. And he realizes these bums, surprisingly, they can't play on the road. So you know what? See you game six. I'll go off in game six with a triple-double, score 46. Bums like J.R. Smith will actually be able to be more comfortable and hit some shots. And who knows what could happen in game seven. There's your hardcore analysis. He wasn't really that tired. He faked it so that he could kind of slog through the rest of the game, especially defensively, because he knows he has two more games to play.
Yeah, he's setting up the narrative for saving the day for Cleveland, the city of Cleveland, in game six.
Listen, this guy's existence has been one big motion picture. He knows people are watching him every second.
The book before the game.
Everything is contrived. Everything.
That
he
is
knows,
the worst.
He knows how people are going to react to every movement, so he knows, I'll bend over, tuck in my shorts, LeBron doesn't look right tonight. He doesn't look right. He looks tired. He's huffing and puffing. Is he sick? Someone asked him after the game, are you feeling okay? Are you ill?
Yeah, no, we've been playing that.
Right? I know. And so but the whole point is he knows what reaction he's going to get.
Of course.
He knows. So all of a sudden, LeBron doesn't look right. What's going on? What's the story with LeBron?
In game five, didn't he play a million minutes and have a triple-double and 42 points? He's a freaking force of nature. So between game four and game five, now he's old? Like, and even after the diabolical Mason Souza, that negative prick, he's been weaned by Adam Jones. He pulled this sound. You know, LeBron will talk your face off about his conditioning and how he's got the answers here. Like, this is just after game four, right? Can you play that, Billy?
I mean, it's 15 years deep, seven straight finals. How are you doing this in year 15?
Just put a lot of work in. First of all, the man above is giving me some abilities that I've tried to take full advantage of. And I put the work in day in and day out on my body, working on my game every day to try to put myself to be in the best condition I can be in the postseason. So my teammates, my coaching staff allow me to go out and do the things to try to help us win. They trust me. And besides the seven turnovers tonight, I think I earned their trust a little bit more.
Okay, so what a setup. Like that false self-deprecation, like please spare me. But what a setup. Like, it was just 36 hours ago. We're talking about how he's got all the answers, and he's, like, in prime condition. And now, 36 hours later, he's too old.
And you know, he just hearing that clip just reminded me. So he actually had 7 turnovers in that game that he went off in game 4. 6 last night. 7 turnovers. That many turnovers.
He's a turnover machine.
Yeah, but
by
maybe,
the way.
You know, with that many turnovers, maybe fatigue is setting in. How come he wasn't questioned about that after? Even such a Herculean task that he had in such a great night in game 4. 7 turnovers, though. Hey, LeBron, is maybe fatigue setting in? Why not those questions then? You had more turnovers in that game than you did last night. Oh, but no, just because he put his hands on his hips and he's grabbing his shorts a little bit and playing it up for the cameras. Huh.
I don't know.
Where have I seen that act before? when the pressure's on a little too much, or I want to play it up because it's just so hard to be an athlete.
I guess I'll throw.
So I would not compare the two, but LeBron's playing everybody.
Oh, listen, please, totally. It's contrived. This guy's one of the most contrived people going. The whole thing is an act.
The book reading.
Oh, God, it's a lie.
Remember last year when he was reading off the bus? And it was The Godfather. I remember this because what jackwagon? It's impossible. If you read books, you know you can't walk and read. He walked off the bus, you know, in that shot where all the cameras are, where they see what you're wearing before the game. Like, that's the NBA. That, thank you, NBA, for giving us that, too. The fashion show, you know, the walking down the runway so we get to see what these goofs are wearing before the game. Like, I care of what you're wearing. But anyway. So LeBron knows that the cameras are on him from the bus to the locker room. And I think he was reading The Godfather, which sucks. If anyone's read that book, it's one of the only times you can say the movie was actually better than the book.
Mario Puzo.
Because the book sucked. The book sucked. You ever read the book?
No, never read The Godfather. No.
The only thing the book gives you is they give you more on Sonny Corleone's Hogan. That's it.
I'll take your word for it.
Other than that, you get a little more on his proclivities in the bedroom. Other than that, the book is useless. It's a stupid book. Great movie, but a stupid book. But anyway, LeBron's reading it as he's walking from the bus like this.
No, he wants everyone to know he's reading The
like
Godfather.
Like, you fraud? Yeah. You can't walk and read a paperback book. You can't do that.
Oh, no, he's LeBron. He can do anything.
It's so painful.
I'm telling you, the whole thing's an act. He's setting it up because this is his fair. He knows. He knows what the next chapter in his life is, so he's writing this chapter right now to give Cleveland its farewell, and then he's moving on.
Okay, so your reaction right after this.
The Sports Hub. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Janta.
Magenta?
Janta.
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 Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
A fatigued LeBron James, a worn out LeBron James, like we haven't seen him in the past. Mouthpiece out, mouth open, knees buckled, towel wiping, tissue wiping, frustrated. Bad pass. This is an all-time great passer. That's a bad pass. That's a drop off to Jeff Green. LeBron James has been worn out, and give credit to the Celtics and the multiple bodies that they put on.
These guys ever stop to just think for a second they're getting played? I mean, not the bad pass to Jeff Green, but the mouth guard out, huffing, puffing, like all those shows of fatigue. I think for a second there's a reason you're seeing that.
Oh, God, it's so over the top with LeBron, as always, and everybody just takes the cheese.
Okay, I promise. Back to your phones. Here's Sandy in North Andover. Hi, Sandy. Sandy!
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay, Sandy. You've been holding for a long time. Thanks for hanging on. What do you got?
I was dozing while I was waiting.
Yeah, no, I got
you. Will you do me a favor? Will you just let me get... I'll hurry, but will you let me get my point before you hang up on me?
Yes.
Okay. My point is... You guys are saying that LeBron James has something baiting, like up his sleeve,
yep.
That, you know, he's going to show in 6 or 7.
6.
And someone called and said, which my husband wanted me to say the other day, but I didn't have a chance. But the way Brad Stevens is doing it is he was playing Morris, and then everybody was saying, what's he doing when he was starting with Baines? Because it seemed like LeBron James figured it out and was switching everybody up. So why is it so hard to believe? And then yesterday, Brad Stevens went back to playing his usual game. So why is it so hard to believe that maybe Brad Stevens, being the really great coach that he's been, that he doesn't have something up his sleeve?
All right. I'll believe it if they do it on the road, Sandy. How's that?
I hope they do.
Okay, me too. Need to renew my faith in this sport, in this league, in these players. Someone went on the road, please. If Brad Stevens does it on the road with an adjustment, I'll say that adjustment was legit. Otherwise... I can't do that last night because All they did was win at home, and everyone's done that. And, oh, by the way, you told me after games one and two, Brad had the answer with Marcus Morris and the best efficiency ratings per 100 possessions, Jay Stu, against LeBron, and build a wall, and they had the, and then he goes back to Cleveland and blows doors.
Right, and then he, exactly, he made whatever it was, 25 out of 40 shots in Cleveland.
So let me just see this, let me see this happen on the road, and I'll give you credit for a legit adjustment.
See, look, in that league, I believe in talent, and I believe in the talent of LeBron James. And so you know what I believe in? That when LeBron wants to play, you can't stop him. Now, it doesn't mean he's going to win every game, because I think he wanted to play in game two when they lost. But I think last night, he wasn't interested in giving you everything he had.
Mike in Medford. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, I got a question for you guys. Then a quick comment, depending on your answer. It's kind of
quick.
What's more important to LeBron? Leave Cleveland with some class and goodwill by losing to the Celtics in game seven, or go to the finals with a bad team for that 3-6 finals record? Which one is more important to him?
The first thing.
The first thing. Then he better lose game six, because the Celtics may not have enough with all the pressure for game seven to get in the finals, or they throw up bricks or get heavy legs. Whatever the case may be, if he really feels like he doesn't want to go to the finals, then he better start and make it look good, though, tanking game six, because game seven,
would he do that at home, Michael?
I don't think so.
Would he do that at home, Mass?
No, see, I think that, again, because the last time it was so, it was handled so poorly the last time, all the way around. It really was. And not just with the decision, all of it. I mean, he spit on the town on the way out the door, for crying out loud. He quit in the series against the Celtics, the whole nine yards. So this time he's going to give him an honest effort, and then they can't blame him for leaving.
Beyond an honest effort, he has set up a Herculean heroic pick himself off the mat, fight through this gratuitous fatigue that he's suffering. He's going to pick himself off the mat and for the city of Cleveland, win one for the land.
See, he's that good. He is. He's that good where he can control the game when he wants.
Walter in Revere has a thought on Tom Brady. Thanks for hanging on, Walt.
Hi. I just wanted to agree with Mars when he says that Tom Brady used to have his life around football, and now his attitude has changed. But the most important part, I think, is the reason why that attitude has changed. And I think the main reason is, before the Super Bowl game, there was always an understanding that...
Walter, your phone is just too average. I can't keep you on, but thank you for the call. He says the Super Bowl changed everything.
See, I don't think that's it. Do you?
No. I think the Super Bowl, and I've been saying this forever, and I'm getting Mason Souza's take on it, because that diabolical prick again had something on that.
The diabolical Mason Souza.
But to me...
I like it.
No, the Super Bowl is the opening. The Super Bowl is the opening, because people are pissed at Bill, and legitimately so, and it looks really bad on Bill how he handled that. And so this is the opening for Brady and Gronk to stage the Palace Q, because they know Bill's vulnerable right now because of that Super Bowl decision. So that's how that plays in. It is not the germination of it, but a lot of people disagree. Souza says, I think the Malcolm Butler Super Bowl benching decision factors in Brady's absence more than you guys give it credit. Just like Jay Stu is now calling Coach Stevens Brad after a couple of subpar coaching nights, I'm calling Belichick Bill, or Bull, if you will, for the time being. After Bill made the bull crap decision to keep Butler out of the game and disrespect in italics the entire team, especially Brady, by robbing of another Super Bowl win, Brady now says, well, F it then, coach. You set the precedent to disrespect the team on the grandest stage. I will do the same now while the rules allow me to. Think there's anything to that?
Yeah, a little bit. Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that Brady is sick of Bill. And that ultimately he says, you know, screw you. I'm going to Monaco to see the Monaco Grand Prix with Tag Heuer, the, you know,
watch.
Luxury watch company is what I was going to say. I was looking for the word luxury, Murray. But I'm going to go there with Tag Heuer, and you can, you know, play with Brian Hoyer while I'm over there. See you later. Like, to me, that's what it is. He's telling Bill F you.
Meanwhile, at practice, guys don't know where they're going. No one can call out the mic. The ball's on the ground. It's rolling around. You know that they gave this Bobby Etling, what's his name?
Danny.
This Danny Etling, do you see the number he was wearing?
58.
58! 58.
The linebacker.
The only thing that was missing was the thing above it that says NFL photographer.
Oh, so meanwhile, it's like they can't practice back here because no one can play but they got number 58 under center. No clue where to go with the ball. And Brian Hoyer's calling out, you know, cornerbacks as the mic and Julian Edelman's correcting him. And oh, God. And meanwhile, Brady is watching a car race with the Prince in Monaco. Ay vey. Yeah. Mean, what has happened?
No. The Patriots have Jack Lambert playing quarterback, number 58.
58. You've got to be kidding me. Here's an update from Murray.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
Sports
Hub. Pass ends Hill in, but he's met at the rim and rejected by Aaron Baines. Jaylen Brown flying up the floor right side. Pulls up over Kevin Love. Runner no good, but the offensive rebound tapped home by Aaron Baines.
Baines with a finger roll in. Put that ball. He blocked the shot and then comes back with a tap in.
Tatum steps to his left and knocks down a three. Cavs fell asleep defensively. And Tatum finally saw an opportunity. And
I didn't see that shot coming.
Neither did the Cavs. Tatum the rebound. Gallops up the floor. Zips the entry to Baines for the two-hand slam. Complete misdirection there. Tatum led the Cavs to think he was going right. Moved the pass back to his left where Aaron Baines was running.
Find those runners. Find those guys running the floor.
LeBron lobs it up ahead looking for Nance, and it's knocked away by Marcus Morris. And he stares Nance down, and Nance hits him from behind. Morris shoves him back with the left hand.
But Nance got hit, and he didn't help Nance up. So what was he mad about? He didn't get helped up, or did Morris say something to him as he flew out of bounds?
And Marcus Morris throws a wink at Jaylen Brown.
Oh,
Marcus Morris just barked at him.
Does this fire the Cavaliers up?
Yeah, and you remember this is happening with the Celtics up by 17. Missed free throw, and now rebound comes to LeBron. Bounce pass lead, looking for Love, picked off by Rozier. Celtics by 10, 56-46. Rozier, push pass, wow. Tatum, quick three, got it.
Man, that's a huge play. That is huge, you swing back like that.
And Ty Lue knows it, which is why he's going to put a stop to it right now. Kick out Horford, three in the air, got it.
Ooh, Big Al, that's money time.
When it matters most, 15-12 for Al Horford here in Game 5. And the Boston Celtics are one game away from the NBA Finals.
We did what we were supposed to do. We won here. Big game 5 for us. And, you know, now we have a big challenge to go on the road. We're going to have to play a great game come Friday.
To do what we want to do, we still have to beat this team one more time. And it's hard to win a game in the NBA. It takes a ton of preparation, takes a ton of focus, takes a ton of effort. And that's the task.
All right, we continue to react to Celtics winning Game 5, Game 6 tomorrow night here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. We got you covered for the whole Celtics playoff run as far as they go, which could be the NBA Finals. Alan and Methuen, what do you got for us? Hello, Alan. Okay, babe, you can call us back. Not quite ready to go. Phil and Malden. Hi, Phil.
Hey, guys. I don't know if anyone brought this up already, but I think the Cavs got a big break with the layoff they had between games 2 and 3. You know, otherwise, I think the series would already be over. And I'm not too sure what their record was on back-to-backs, Cleveland this year, but I know the Celtics are really good.
So, Phil, I mean, you would figure that it helped them, but that means you're buying the fatigue thing. And I put more into the home road than I do the fatigue thing. They went home.
Yeah, see, I think...
And their players tried.
For these guys, a day off is plenty. It's plenty. These guys, LeBron is the best conditioned athlete in the world, for crying out loud. Look at him. He's ridiculous. I mean, the guy's chiseled. He's lighter than he's ever been. He's been phenomenal. He's not physically tired. He's not. Stop.
Kevin in Brookline. Hi, Kevin.
How's it going, guys?
Good, Kev.
I have a question and then a point to make. The question is for the callers out there who seem to be believers in the Brady family values explanation for his missing the OTAs, and that is, would his commitment to his family be as strong if Jimmy Garoppolo was the backup QB rather than Brian Hoyer?
Did he not have kids when Garoppolo was here? That's my question. I think those kids were here when Garoppolo was, too, and he made every single practice.
Okay. Point about his playing the Super Bowl. I think this the collective sports radio crowd in this town, and I fault you for this, Felger, seem to have buy into this myth that he had a great performance in the Super Bowl. I think he had a Peyton Manning-esque great statistical performance that was ultimately meaningless. And he was good from the middle of the second quarter on. He was god-awful for the first quarter and a half. Go back and look at how many passes he missed. Inaccuracy. He got bailed out a couple times because the Philadelphia defense kind of crapped the bed the same way the Patriots defense did.
Kevin,
but
they didn't punt. They scored on every possession or had attempts on every possession.
Well, look at how many passes he missed. He had a 30-yard completion to Danny Amendola where somehow the thing hung up there forever. It looked like a duck flying on one wing.
I'll tell you what,
and
Kevin.
And Amendola is still 7 yards away from the nearest defender when the ball comes down.
All right, so look, I'll disagree to disagree. Look, you want to blame him for the fumble? I'm with you. Okay, that was on the front side. He could have seen the rush. He didn't feel the pocket there. And I'll give him a little bit of blame for the fumble. I know the exact pass you're talking about to Amendola. I'm glad he threw it like that. Guarantee the reception. Don't try and overthrow him to try and hit him perfectly in stride and risk not make the catch, you know, just get the reception. Did Brady complete 70% of his passes in that game?
I don't remember.
Do you have
it in front
of you?
I don't. But didn't they have 12 points at halftime?
So I don't
know. 22-12 at halftime or something?
I don't remember the score.
I'll check it.
So did they punch in all the red zone opportunities? I guess not.
Yeah, well,
obviously not.
Gostkowski missed a kick or two in there too, didn't he?
Bad snap. And then,
shocker.
So he missed an extra point, shocker. And, you know, Mr. Navy there, blew a Mr. Fifth Round Pick blew a snap.
Yeah.
So like that I remember. Like, you want to get on Brady for the fumble? Okay. He's down, whatever, 4 points, ball in his hands, 4 minutes left. Like, it's winning time. You think that that's his spot, and he did not feel the pocket properly on the front side and fumbled the ball. You want to get on him for that? Fine. He should have caught the ball from Amendola on that double reverse. Fine. Other than that, like, there's not much I'm going to get on him for in that game.
Yeah, and on that following play on fourth down, could have connected with Gronk.
He could have. Was Gronk open on that?
I recall. I think it might have been a bit of an overthrow. I can pull it up. What was the specific stat you were looking for?
Completion percentage in the Super Bowl.
He was 28 of 48.
Which is what, math man?
Okay, that's 4 out of 7 is...
Oh, boy.
Never mind.
Sousa, get on this. Sousa, what's 28 of 48? What's that percentage?
It's like just 60%.
Pull out your calculator, Sousa. Don't do it in your head. I'm not going to trust you. No, pull out a pen and a paper and give me that percentage. Let's see how good you are. This Sousa, I'm working on this Sousa. This kid has promise. 28 of 48, Sousa. What's that percentage?
58.3.
That's it?
Yeah.
He only completed 58% of his passes?
Yeah.
For 505 yards?
Correct.
Oh. Well, maybe we got to go back and look at that a little bit harder.
Yeah, maybe we do.
He only completed 58% of his passes?
Yeah, that's correct. And I'll give you the halftime numbers in a minute if you want them, but
well,
give me a minute.
Well, 58 in this day and age kind of sucks.
It blows, actually.
It's not good. Maybe we do need to rethink this.
Could be called for a take reversal.
There could be. This could be a whole sort of take analysis.
He was 12 of 23 in the first half, which is just over 50%. For 276 yards and no touchdowns.
The yards were there. The efficiency, not so much.
It's about points, not yards.
Huh. Here's Jim in Weymouth on the NBA. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, you guys have been talking about the Celtics needing stronger one-on-one efforts to really close these games out on, you know, in Tatum and in Brown. But in keeping with the whole road and home thing, on the road that hasn't worked. Cleveland's been ready for it. Like, Tatum has tried to go. Brown has tried to go, but there's three Cavaliers waiting. I mean, that's why, at the rim, that's why, like, people like scrubs like Korver block a shot. I mean, if I was Brad Stevens, I would institute a fine for anyone that gets their shot blocked by Korver. But here's the deal. It's like, those one-on-one opportunities, those skills have to be utilized, okay? They absolutely have to be. But they have to be. Cleveland's going to make you move that ball. The one-on-one opportunities do not work when Cleveland is set in their defense. It has to happen after two or three passes, and then that'll work.
Okay, so I mean, I guess we can agree to disagree. I don't think Tatum had the attempts in those two games out in Cleveland. I mean, I know the attempts were not like three attempts in the first half the other night, and not much better the next night. So I just think he was much more assertive last night, much more, and he's got to do that on the road now to really count.
See, I think on the road is where you need ISO. Like, that's where you need the score to step up because things are going to break down. You're going to get a better defensive effort from the home team, and you're going to need that shot maker. You're going to need Kyrie. And with Tatum, it went the other way, right? So, to me, Tatum's going to have to, quote-unquote, take over in some of those situations.
Here's Matt in Quincy. Hi, Matt.
Listen, LeBron is waiting out. I can't believe you guys haven't said this all day. LeBron is waiting to see if the Rockets can beat the Warriors. Because he knows he probably has a way better chance at beating the Rockets than he can leave Cleveland. Or, like, just like Matt said, I mean, he's going to leave regardless after
like game six, that'll be his last game in Cleveland. But he's waiting this out to see if he can beat the Warriors, because if not, if he sees the Warriors
win,
he's not gonna play that game.
I hear you. If he thinks Houston has a chance to be in the finals, he'll try harder because he thinks he can beat Houston.
It's an interesting theory.
Yeah, but it wouldn't time out correctly. If that goes seven, that game's Monday.
Don't get in the way of a good conspiracy take.
Don't let facts get in the way.
Exactly. What are you doing?
But the point is this. If Golden State wins tonight, who do you like in game six at Golden State?
Oh, well, Golden State.
Okay, so he will have some knowledge.
Yeah.
Right? He'll have some knowledge, and then he can make the call on game seven. See, I don't think that's it. I'm just playing along.
The thing is,
to me,
he can make the call on game seven and engage and still not win. Like, he can't control. Like, he can control what happens in Cleveland. That I'm pretty sure of. You know, if he really decides to go all out and make sure everyone's involved and he's involved and balls to the wall, in Cleveland he can affect it. If he does all that here, he still might lose, and he has to know it.
I think this thing with LeBron is really about just controlling the next phase for him, which is, you know, next year and beyond.
His narrative on the way out the door.
Yes, that's exactly what it is, because that's who this guy is. He's an egomaniac. Everything's about him. It has nothing to do with the title. Do you think he had Kyrie on his team last year? And he got his ass kicked by the Warriors. He got his ass kicked with Kyrie. So now he's going to go in with Rodney Hood and George Hill and Jordan Clarkson and this collection of bums and think he has a chance? I mean, we can say whatever we want about the guy, but he's not stupid. I mean, he's a smart guy. So he knows what it is.
Well, Danny in Somerville, you agree with that?
How's it going, guys? Yeah, going off of what you're saying, I think you're right that LeBron's already made up his mind. And I think if he wasn't sure before, the fact that they're going to have to go at least seven to win this against, I mean, that's all I got, seven to win this against the Celtics that don't have their best two players, I think that tells him everything he needs to know about his future in Cleveland. But I also think that once he makes up his mind on that, whether it's conscious or subconscious, he can't give you the same type of performance that he would if he was all in.
Okay, so here's all I know. That stuff about the fatigue last night was just too obvious, man. It was too in your face. It was too obvious of a storyline. He made it too clear, too early in the game for me to take it as genuine. He's setting us up, setting someone up. He's got something up his sleeve. It's just when you're huffing and puffing like that 5 minutes in, you have no reason to be tired and you're already acting tired. Like, come on.
So again, if he was that tired, how come? Go back if you get a chance and watch some of the transition plays in the second half. Why is it that when they got in transition and there was space on the floor, LeBron was dribbling and running hard? But then all of a sudden,
defense, he didn't get back.
Yeah, see, to me, because it's not a fatigue thing. Because he just looked at it and said, we're not winning the championship. We're not going to win this game. Maybe we have a shot in game seven. If I feel like it, I'll play that day. But I don't even think it's any of that. I think he made up his mind. He's leaving Cleveland. And the one thing he can't do is bow out early and quit or certainly lose on his home floor. He's better off losing in seven in Boston and then just throwing up his hands and saying, well, we didn't have home court.
Chris in the car, your thoughts.
Hey, guys, what's going on? So I just got a quick thought on the little skirmish between Morris and Nance last night. So if you go back and look, obviously, right after, Nance, pushes Morris back, all four Celtics went and engaged. That was like Rozier, Brown, Horford, they all went. And if you go look back, Jordan Clarkson, he was up there. He was at half court looking like he wanted to go back to L.A. with the Kardashians. Yeah, LeBron, he was just there. He didn't want to engage. Kyle Korver was in the corner just, he's too old for that. And then, of course, the biggest bum of all, Jeff Green underneath, just absolutely doing nothing. What a bunch of bums. Celtics are engaged. Cavs aren't. Go Seas, baby.
Okay, baby. Let's see you do that in Cleveland.
Yeah, all aboard.
Let's see that engagement in Cleveland.
The whistle's getting its juice back.
Let's see the engagement in Cleveland. It's funny, huh?
Well, if we had to guess, though, what is tomorrow night going to be? But come Sunday, game seven, all aboard.
So you know what struck me about that whole thing under the hoop? Stevens came off the bench, walked in the middle of it, and went right for Rozier. Like, it was,
Him and Morris going to know better. They're idiots there.
So maybe it's because Rozier was sort of the third guy in there, but I took a different approach to it. Like, Stevens looked at it and said, Rozier is a loose cannon. Like, Rozier will lose his mind in there. I got to go get Rozier.
This has become my favorite graphic on the simulcast. The green seas train that Vinny just plopped in from a scene in Bangladesh or somewhere in India. There are like 14,000 Indian people trying to get into this train or hanging on this train.
I have to guess it's pretty stuffy in that train.
And he's thrown some sneaky into like the NBA poster up here.
Yeah.
What's this, the play ball? Yeah. What do you think she's doing?
I don't know.
She about to jump the tracks?
Yeah. Yeah,
good question.
Did Vinny just Google image, like Maz Google images the sideline reporters? Did he just Google image green train?
Green train, if I had to guess, yeah.
Green train in Mumbai?
No, it doesn't matter where it is. Just give me a green train. Turned out
or
it's in the middle.
Busy green train.
So anyway, that's a C's train. All aboard.
All aboard.
That lady hanging over the track, doesn't look healthy.
No, it doesn't look like it's going to end well for her. Anyway, final word comes your way next.
This is Felger and Maz.
On 98.5.
The Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you are looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go.
Nobody.
That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. So, in case anyone really didn't pick up on this, we all kind of collectively thought that last night's game was dog crap to watch in terms of, competitiveness and the overall product. But one guy really, really didn't like it the most, and that would be one Tony Maserati.
Last night? Holy crap, was that bad. Oh, my God. I was struggling to stay up. I couldn't decide whether I wanted to puke, go sit on the toilet for a half hour, fall asleep, or all the above. It was that bad. It was so freaking bad. Conference finals, game five. That's the night Bird stole the ball from Isaiah, right? Game five. Here we go. You got that? Oh, my God, was that awful. Awful. And look at seriously, I think I tweeted at one point, they set basketball back 60 years. 60. I take that back. 70 years. It was so freaking bad. It was horrible basketball. It was horrible theater. Horrible. Horrible, 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 horrible.
Never heard that expression before. I don't know whether to puke or go sit on the toilet for half an hour.
Or fall asleep on it. Isn't that essentially how Elvis went?
Pretty much, I think.
Yeah. Even 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, yeah, boom. He might have had some lewds mixed in there, yeah. Murray.
Packed with fried peanut butter and banana sandwiches. And also, we're all trying to collectively figure out where Tom Brady is. We know he's not at the OTAs, but where in the world is Tom Brady? Don't ask this show, because we'll probably screw it up.
Morocco.
He is getting pressure to spend more time with the family, and combine that, he's with the Prince of Morocco in Morocco, or wherever the hell he is. Where is he?
Yeah, he's going to Morocco this weekend.
Morocco. Morocco with the prince.
Is that a family trip?
Instead of, I don't know.
I don't buy the family excuse.
All I know, he's with... So he's with the family. Monaco.
Monaco, that's what it is. Morocco, Monaco, that's what it is. There apparently there's a big F1 race there, or whatever that is, one of those, so...
A car race.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's...
More like an FU race, Mario.
Right, that's what this is. It's an FU race. There's quarterbacks working with receivers. Balls are out. Football's going on at Gillette. There is, once again, a Super Bowl contender. These practices are important. And he's with the Prince of Monaco at an auto race in
Monaco.
He's with the Prince of Monaco in Monaco.
Why is he doing it? At this point, we can tell why he's doing it. The fact that he is doing it is borderline disgusting to me. As is our intelligence level. Yeah.
See, just so you don't think I only Googled the sideline reporters, I was just seeing how far it is from Morocco to Monaco. Because I think
It's the same neighborhood.
Region.
Same neck of the nape.
Yeah. It feels that way, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's sort of like saying Hingham or Cohasset.
I think so.
Like South Shore, right?
Whatever,
it's
I don't know.
It's all sort of in the same, hood.
Real quick, thanks hood. To Billy Lanny for filling in for Jimmy Stewart and Mason Souza back there behind the glass. Jimmy Stewart's off the next couple of days. Just want to send out some show thoughts to Jimmy Stewart and his wife, Randy. Going through some things, good and bad. But anyway, just want to let Jimmy know that our thoughts are with him and his wife, Randy, over this weekend. But thanks again to Billy for filling in today. Maz, what do you got coming up on the baseball report?
So the Red Sox won again last night. They now play the series finale in Tampa Bay tonight. Do you know that they are 14-1 in series finales this year?
Mm.
And they are now 23-3 against right-handed pitching. Did you know that?
Are those two stats related in any way?
No.
Okay.
No, that's not what we're talking about. I just thought I would pass that along to you. It's a little stupid information for you.
That's why we have the baseball reporters.
So if the Red Sox are playing so well, why am I irritated with David Price? Why am I irritated with Christian Vasquez? We have a news development on Dustin Pedroia and a very interesting press release today by Major League Baseball concerning the state of the baseballs in the game, the actual physical baseball that we will get to later in the show. But I'm going to begin with a very simple question about this team for Red Sox fans.
Ah, I love simple questions. Need to keep it simple here on the show. Tomorrow, getaway day. Felger and Maz got you covered 2 to 6. If you're driving down to the Cape or wherever you're going tomorrow, listen to us because we'll have you covered everything from the week, get you ready for what could be a closeout game, but again, it's on the road, so, you know, who the hell knows. But Celts-Cavs tomorrow night, Felger-Maz from 2 to 6. We will talk to you all then.
Bye.